Amen.
Having Richard have saying that, having had Richard say that, it brings me basically right into what God's given me. I heard Stan say one time, y'all probably heard it. Well, maybe you didn't. Maybe it was just between him and I. That there's times when you just got to preach yourself out of a situation.
Right.
And I know there's nobody here who's not familiar with these feelings. But, I mean, I've taken a direct hit from the enemy to the point where I'm just going to tell you honestly, I was beside myself. And even spent a sleepless night or two. And yet, the faithfulness of God, the truth of His Word, by the Holy Spirit, rose up inside me. And lately, and I don't think this is any accident or coincidence, I think this was designed and designated and predestined by God for me to hear some expounding on Mark 11 by Dr. Frederick K. Price and some others. And one of the things that we miss out on, you know, sometimes when we pray, we don't necessarily pray out loud. We just kind of say things. And God hears that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Word is very clear when it says, say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, and you will have what you say. It has to be said. I'm not telling you to go out right, stand up right in the church, although if God requires that, that's just one more way to tell the devil, I'm not backing down, I'm not giving in, this is the way it is. And watch the mountain go away. Well, since the first of the year, there's been a mountain in my way, and it's progressively gotten bigger. I have, you know, I mean, praise God. Let me start by just saying this. What do you do when you're faced with an obstacle in your life? The blessings of God have been flowing. Things have been going well. And all of a sudden, there's an obstacle. And we've talked about this before, but I want to say this afresh. Bear with me. I don't mean to be redundant, but I'm telling you this is something we need to get down in our spirits. What do you do when something's hit you and you don't see any way out from the natural? I'll tell you what our tendency is. Our tendency is to give up or run and go everywhere but to God. I mean, let me tell you something. There, I have been struggling with this for at least two or more weeks now. And from all the outward appearance, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And you know what? God's got it under control.
Amen.
Last Sunday, I didn't get a chance to say everything that I wanted to say. I wasn't fully prepared the way I wanted to be. But the point is, what I did say was from God. And that is that we have been given everything we need. The Bible says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen?
Amen.
And one of the things that Stan and I talked about this afternoon was the fact that basically I called him, not out of desperation. I mean, I had myself together, and I called for wise counsel. That's what I called for.
Man.
I didn't call to ask for help. I didn't call for anything except just wise counsel. And, of course, bless his heart, let me get back to you on that. So he called me later on this afternoon. That's one of the reasons why I was late. And began to share with me. And he just reminded me of things I already know. See, we look at things from what we see. The bank account's empty. But I've got this infirmity or this little unpleasant thing hanging on to me. Why am I not healed? Now, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Is it, why am I not healed? Can I tell you one of the biggest things that God's taught me through all of this, and He's even solidified and made it stronger in me through this situation that I'm going through right now? But you know what? I remind you again, it's not the outcome. It's the timing.
Man.
Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to you the poignancy of what I'm saying. Only the Holy Spirit can. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to do that now. You take control tonight. Let God's Word be put in the heart of each person here. Let it rise up. Let this be a new night and a new beginning, as we've heard, Lord, from the Sunday that Luis was here, Lord. Those things coming to pass, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that you're changing us so that we'll leave here not the same as when we came in, with more determination, more insight, more tenacity than we've ever had in our lives. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So what do you do when there's an obstacle in the way?
You cast it upon Jesus.
That's the first thing you need to do. But there's also something else. One of the worst things that I've ever done in my life is go running my mouth. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about because you do the same thing. Or you had a propensity in the past to do that. You run your mouth. Oh, woe is me. What's going on? Why is this happening? What did I do wrong? Your Bible says, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
Your Bible says, call on him in the time of trouble, and he, what? He what?
Will carry you.
Oh, come on, gang.
He delivers you from all.
Well, that's part of it, but he will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. We're told that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so, what we need to understand is that doesn't just mean prophesying or testifying after the fact, but in the midst of the situation, preach yourself out of it. I don't care if you're sharing with a friend or if you're standing in the pulpit or where you are. You preach yourself out of it. How many know it's impossible for God to fail?
Yeah.
Yes, it's impossible.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
I'm here to tell you, I know that I know that I know it's impossible for God to fail. And I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what it looks like to me and my puny brain and my excitable mind, my heart, which is deceitful. With God, it's impossible to fail. We can fail. We often do. But we're not utterly cast down, Gene. That's what God was showing you. We're not utterly cast down. And those are things that God has to take out of us. I mean, I've been exactly in the same place. Because of one little instant, that's what brought me at one point in my life, as you all know, to say, God, I give up. I'm not going to make it. As Gene said, I'm not worthy. I can't stop doing what I do. And I hate it, but so I just give up. I'm going to the place I don't want to go anyway, so, you know, I just give up. And I'll remind you again, it was in the middle of the battle when I was, from all intents and purposes, from the outward appearance to the entire world, defeated and whipped like a puppy, that I poured my heart out to God and I said, God, here it all is. Here's the history, the present, and what I see in the future. And then all I could do was sit there with it before God. Richard called it right. He said, cast your care on him. We let that kind of just float over our heads. He says, cast your care on him because he cares for you.
Right.
Care will bring you down.
Amen.
If it's left unchecked. If you don't shut it off and listen for the voice of the Spirit. And you can't do that when you're running your mouth about the problem. So, I closed my mouth. I determined I wasn't going to say anything to anybody. And I waited on God. And I began to make some confessions that I know. One is God cannot fail. It's impossible. I'm going to read you some scripture here. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Then in James 1:6 it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now don't just think about that in the situations you've been in your life. Maybe situations you're going through right now. You know, the enemy's not happy about what's going on here. We need to understand that. You know, the testimony that I've had is every time there's been a situation in my life where it looked like things were going a little sour in my finances, or they could go sour, or south, if you whatever way you want to say it, that God always increased. Anybody who knows and has watched, they know that's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
So now, there's a little bit of a rough time. And so, where's God? He's right where he's always been. And he's waiting for me and for you, whatever your situation or circumstance is, to begin to confess what you know is truth, not what you know is untruth. Now let me go back to what I said on Sunday. We have already been given everything. We're not the sick trying to get healed. He has provided healing by his stripes. In salvation, and in the gift that he gave us, and in the being saved from and saved to something and being safe, we're not looking at an empty bank account hoping to get money in there. He has the bank account. He has the money, like Stan said to Luis that Sunday that he was here. So I'm writing you a check not on my bank account, but on a bank account that I know the funds are there. Now, that's not exactly, but you remember. If you didn't, then I suggest you do like I did today. Listen to the prophecies and what Stan said to Luis. We've already got the fund. The funds are there. God's got them. Now, what else did he say? He said, no good thing will I withhold from you. He's faithful. It's impossible for him to fail. So no good thing will I withhold from you. I've given you everything. Can anything be left out when you hear the word everything? Unless it's a lie. And we know it's impossible for him to lie. Right?
Amen.
So what you do is you begin to meditate on the word, and as you begin to meditate on it, you confess it out of your mouth, and you basically, if you will, preach your way out of the situation. Because what happens is the word comes up, and you know that it's impossible for God to fail, and as a result, things begin to change.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
You know, there's something that I'd like to say here, that when you have a problem with somebody, I'm talking about any person, and I've done this quite a few times. It's happened in this church, it's happened all over. But I found, Bill, that when I'm having a problem with a person, I mean, we all do. We all have problems with certain people, whenever, you know. I have found that I pray myself out of a situation by praying for that person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's amazing at how it completely destroys all the resentment and the bitterness that was welling up inside. Now, mm-hmm. that bitterness and resentment comes from me.
Absolutely.
He builds on it. As soon as mm-hmm. you have a negative thought, he will build on that problem. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps on going, keeps on mm-hmm. going. And finally, you catch yourself and say, oh, wait a minute, hold it. Okay, Lord, I'm praying for this person. I know that you've got him in his hand, and away you go. Pray for that person, and all of a sudden, all the crap mm-hmm. is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It just cleans out like a new washed glass, you know. So it's really praying for the person and helping that person. It's just like, it's just the same thing as depression. Go help somebody. If you're depressed, go help somebody. Somebody that's in worse shape than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Go help them. I'll guarantee you, you'll come out of that in a hurry.
Because
that's exactly what God wants you to do.
Amen. But what's being said there is the fact that you're basing what you're doing on the Word of God that rises up in you, what you know. And that's the key. I want to read some other scriptures. First of all, I want to tell you, your Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of what? Them all.
My Bible says that. Does yours say that?
Mine does.
But you said your Bible. I was wondering if our Bible. I was just kidding you, Ron.
I know that. Affliction is the state of being afflicted. The cause of persistent pain or distress, great suffering. One of the first things that happens when you get into a situation, especially a financial situation, is, God, where are you? What happened? What did I do wrong? Where did I make the wrong turn? And that may not, that's probably in 90% of the case, probably 99% of the case is not the case at all. As long as you're serving God, the Bible tells you, be sober and be vigilant, because what? Your adversary, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, how is he going to devour you? By pulling the word out of you, by causing you to look at the circumstance rather than solution. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've looked and I've examined my life from the past, and not one time did I get any comfort or help out of fussing and talking the negative or talking the situation. But peace and joy and comfort and faith were built by talking the word, what the promises of God are that are inside me. Amen?
Amen.
How many know that the doubt is the sin? That's what your Bible says. And we've all been there and done that, right? The word afflict means to inflict upon one something hard to endure. Okay? Yeah. But in our case, it's losing sight for a moment or two. First of all, thinking God for some reason has forsaken us. Why is this happening? And also going back and saying, Father, you promised you wouldn't give me anything that I couldn't endure, bear up under, that I didn't have the victory over, that I couldn't attain the good outcome. Amen? See, when these things start to rise up inside you and you begin to think about that and you begin to confess these things, what happens is your whole outlook, y'all know this, your whole outlook, your whole situation begins to change. And instead of looking bleak and without hope, it begins to look like a point where God can show himself strong in your behalf. It's an opportunity for God. He's not taken by surprise, and he's not inadequate to meet that, right? Remember the definition of mercy? It assumes need on the part of him who receives it, and resources adequate to meet that need on the part of him who gives mercy or shows mercy. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here's some synonyms. Afflict, try, torment, torture, rack. Mean to inflict on a person something that is hard to bear. Afflict is a general term and applies to the causing of pain or suffering or acute annoyance, embarrassment, or distress. Those things sound like they come from God, don't they? Not a chance. There's two different characters in the Bible. The devil is a character and God has character. Right? It's try suggests imposing something that strains the powers of endurance or of self-control. Torment suggests the persecution or the repeated inflicting of suffering or annoyance. Anyway, we're not going to talk anymore about that. That's not the solution. I want to read to you some scriptures. Two thoughts here. First of all, forsaken. And I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians 4:7-11. If you want to write them down, you can. You don't have to turn to them. I'll just read them. 2 Corinthians 4:7-11. Cast down, but unconquered. I like that. That's what my caption says above these scriptures. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. There's trials. Those things keep us humble. Those things keep us looking to the rock that's higher than us. Amen?
Amen.
And they solidify in us. Remember, we've talked lots of times. You know, one of my favorite things to say, and I believe this, and I walk with this, and I act on this, that I anticipate the inevitable supernatural intervention of God. It's impossible for him to fail. It's not in his vocabulary. It's not in his character. And it's impossible for him to do it. He is the creator of the universe. I remind you that he says he is the owner We know by Scripture that He's not only the one who has the cattle on a thousand hills, but He owns the hills also. It's His world. He created it.
Amen.
Sure. Amen? So we're not looking for a bank account to be full. We have a bank account that is full. What we look for is the manifestation to pull us out of a situation that would be, let's just be honest, would be an embarrassment to God if He failed or He didn't come through. Now, there are circumstances, but 99% of the time when things go on in our lives, it's not because of sin in our life, it's because the enemy's on attack. Or maybe we overlook something for a moment. Gene, that's where that unworthiness feeling comes from. And that's what God's trying to take out of us every day of our life, till we draw our last breath. You see, the thing we fight with, and we all know this, is the flesh. We're in this world. This world has perpetrated circumstances and their ideas on us. But now what we need to do is wash ourselves with the water of the Word and have our mind renewed by the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 37, 25 and 26. Psalm 37, 25 and 26. I really wish Domino was here. Now listen carefully. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lends. Turn the page here. And his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forever. That's what verse 27 says. Praise the Lord. I was young, now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken. You can say, that's me. You need to say, that's me. Amen. You need to confess. Remember, the mouth confession is made. With the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. What is the works in faith? Keeping that faith right there by pronouncing, confessing the Word of God and what we know to be truth.
Amen.
So for us to do that, we have to come to the understanding in the place where we realize that everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is not truth. It is a circumstance. And circumstances are subject to change. Amen? I'm going to get excited here in just a minute, I'm telling you. Don't dwell and look at what's going on in your life. It's there to tear you down. And if you don't deal with it, if you don't kill it, if you don't put the knife to it, bring it down, it's going to stay there and it will consume you, left unchecked. Your Bible says in, I believe it's 1 John, it said, lust when it is conceived brings forth sin, and sin when it is full grown or when it is finished brings forth death. It's the same thing with something that's in your path that takes your faith and your focus off of God and God's promises. So you have to come by the Word of God to the point where you're convinced that no matter what happens, come hell or high water, God cannot, God will not fail, and He will never forsake you.
Amen.
What He's promised is for you, just like it's for the person next to you or the person down the street, for anyone who's a believer. And in many cases, it's for those who are unbelievers. They're laws. What does He say? His gifts and calling are without what? Repentance. He never changes His mind. He never withdraws them when once they're given. And your Bible says they've been given once for all to all men. Once and for all. Now, the choice is, which way are you going to walk? What are you going to walk in? Amen?
Amen.
Lamentations 3:22. Lamentations 3:22. Been a long time since I've been in Lamentations. Yep. I remember from the day. See, you know how I learned where all the books of the Bible are? We used to sing them in the Presbyterian church. Maybe there is something good that can come out of the Presbyterian church. Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed.
Amen.
Because his compassions fail not. We've heard a song about his compassions fail not. Amen? Praise the Lord. Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you continually. Is there anything there we don't understand? Now listen carefully, folks. Listen carefully. And satisfy your soul in drought. And strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Psalm 89:33, and then we're going to go home. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him. Psalm 89:33. Nor allow my faithfulness to fail. So tonight, I stand before you making this declaration that I'm not going to look at, I'm not going to get caught under the weight of whatever is going on or trying to attack me in my life. It's but for a moment. I'm looking to the rock that's higher than I. You need to be looking to the rock that's higher than you. Calling on him in the time of trouble, and he promised he would show you great and mighty things which you don't even know. And he promised, just like I said, I was young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And you need to again say, that's me.
That's me.
Amen.
Amen. And that's for you.
That's right.
Believe me, it's for me. Yes, sir.
It goes right along the line of what I'm dealing with right now. There's been a lot of expenses with this new place, curtains and all, and groceries and all kinds of stuff. And so right now, I have no reserves left in my Chase account. But, you know, I appreciate this word because it's reassured me that he's got everything under control. And yes, I did spend some money on airfare, which started out low and ended up higher than I was wanting to pay. But I know now that God has got it under control.
Praise the Lord.
Also, today was an awesome day of time with God and just getting lost in him and in his word. And I forgot to call and schedule my ride for tomorrow. And I remembered it 10 minutes after 5 after they've closed. And I said, okay, God, here's the situation. What are you going to do? And he said, you know where the bus stop is. Take the bus. But when I get to 54th and Lincoln, I have to call work and see if there's anybody there that'll be willing to come and pick me up because there's no sidewalks between the bus stop and work. And to trust him on it and that he'll take care of it. So I got the directions tonight of how to get there by bus. And Lord willing, I'm going to get there.
Amen. Well, he's one.
And so pray for me tomorrow, early morning and at 5:05, that God will provide that somebody willing to come and get me, and that there will be no mishaps.
Amen.
I want to temper with what I've said with this caution, and this is for me as well as everybody else. And that is one of the things God will unhesitatingly show mercy and grace sometimes when we make a blundering mistake. But when we repeat that mistake through selfishness or lack of self-control, sometimes, you know, the first time, maybe the second time, God will get you out. But there may come a time when he says, okay, you got into this, now you get out. And that doesn't mean that he's walked away from you or forsaken you. but it means that you're going to have to put forth some effort because you've basically frustrated the grace of God. Now, that's not an indictment. It's something we all need to work on, right? Who in here hasn't been foolish once or twice and done something? Well, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, right? So that's a caution to all of us in all this. This is good word tonight, but we also need to know that there are some requirements, and we need to also temper that with self-control and with asking God, God, what do you think? And remembering that if God, you know, for instance, I got to tell you something. I'd like nothing more than to go to see my daughter in July when I'm up for my first week for my week's vacation. But that may not be possible. I'd like to be there for her 27th birthday. But the point is that if it's God's plan and it's what God has, then I know it's going to be there. And sometimes in situations, you have to tighten your belt, you know. But in that, Richard, you've experienced that recently, watching your finances turn around, you know. You have to stop the foolishness and wake up and smell the coffee. So there's some requirements on you. But make no mistake, God's plan and God's will is to carry you through and to get you out. Just don't make the same mistake over and over again. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you encouraged tonight? I'm encouraged. I'll tell you what. I am totally encouraged. So, is there anything we need to pray about tonight? Anybody that needs prayer? Yes, ma'am.
I've really not said anything to anybody, but in the last, I don't know how long since the surgery, I'm getting weaker. It's not my leg. It's my entire body. I had to ask Donna to open the water to see me because I can't grasp anything. You should see me trying to knit. I mean, it's kind of comical, and I'm forcing myself because I don't want to lose the use of my hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's also my shoulders. I can't lift my arms up much more than that because, I don't know, last night I got up in the middle of the night and I was crying. I said, God, you said I was going to get stronger, and I am now getting weaker. After 5 years, I'm now getting weaker again, and I don't understand this. So everything you said tonight, it's where I'm at because I'm in constant pain, and I'm not going to speak this. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to let the enemy do this. But it's getting difficult to not say ow and not flinch and so forth. But the medication is doing absolutely no good. I take both an anti-inflammatory and I take a pain medication, and they don't do anything. So I had to stop taking the methotrexate because it was just making me sick. And that's supposed to help with the pain. I don't see how that's supposed to.
Deborah, one of the hardest things for any of us to do is come to the place where we rely on God more than the quick fixes or the simple fixes. And one of the hardest things to do when these things are going on in our life, like right now in the situation I'm in, you know, it's hard. But I'm not going to give up because I know outside of this, I've already made my decision. For me to go back is just digging up my seed, and I'm not going to do it. But in those things, it's not wrong to say, you know what, I need prayer. But what we need to do is stop saying, I am in. The Bible says, call those things which be not as though they are, and then hold fast our confession. Remember, we read tonight, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Which is more real to you? I know your body's screaming out the pain, the weakness. But did God pay a price with Jesus, with his son on the cross for you?
And I wrote down, let the weak say I am strong.
Amen. Amen.
And the scripture, I think you got it written on my wall. It's just,
amen.
Sometimes it's hard. You're sitting there, what you're actually feeling and what you're experiencing. You know, it's like, okay, this is not real. And you got to tell yourself, this is not real. This is a lie.
Well, it's not the final end either. The pain may be there. I'm not doubting that at all. But what I am doubting is that it's going to take you down. The only way that's possible is if we let it.
Right?
I've been fighting it for 5 years.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you what I feel in my spirit. I feel the Spirit of God saying now, okay, you've been fighting it. Now it's time to cast your care on me. Let me take care of it. And hold fast your confession.
And don't take it back.
Amen. Don't go back and look at it. When the temptation is there to say, and again, I'm not telling you it's wrong to say, hey, I'm not well. But be careful that it's not a confession. Remember what your confession is. Hold fast your confession. In the balances, which is more real? In the physical, it feels like the pain is more real. But the truth is, the pain is only a circumstance from attack of the enemy. Amen? Because it's not possible for God to have that or to let that stay in your body. Amen? Yeah. And the only way the enemy has control is if we give him control or a place in ourselves. That's why the Bible says don't give place to the devil. That means in our thoughts and our feelings, don't succumb to what he's trying to put on you. You need to stand there. Sometimes you need to not just confess the word, but you need to look him right in the eye and say, you are a liar and the father of all lies. This is not from God, and I don't receive this. I'm not standing for this anymore. But that's called preaching your way to yourself, if nobody else, out of it. Amen?
Amen.
It's a new day, folks, for all of us. Amen?
God has heard your cry.
Amen.
He has seen your tears.
Amen.
And he has already felt the pain.
Mm-hmm.
You're in good hands.
Amen.
And it ain't Allstate.
That's right. That's exactly right. What he said. And double amen.
The battle's not yours. The battle's the Lord's. But it's coming, Lord. There's something is going to break pretty soon.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, I know it has to, because it seems like the enemy's just throwing double whammies.
Well.
Like, okay, I know. Yeah. I know it's a lie.
He's a
and
liar.
I even sat there and said, okay, this is a lie. You know, that doesn't mean it stops, because I'll be honest with you, it doesn't stop. But it helps me realize that, no, that's in the past.
Pain is real.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
pain is real.
That's right. That's
and
right.
It's something that you can say that it's a lie, sure. It's an attack. I would say it's an attack more than it's a lie. Because it's real. You're feeling what he's given through you,
yeah.
What he's thrown at you. But then it's got to be your faith, your strength, your hope, and your love for the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to overcome. You will overcome.
These scriptures I'm going to go tomorrow, they're going to be very thoroughly researched by me, because I need these. Every day I have to keep just...
Mm-hmm.
So I've got that right there. It says, let the weak say, I am strong.
Amen.
Well, the Bible also says, we sing a song about this too, and it says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. You know, it's easy for the circumstances and the things we see, remember that our eyes can deceive us, just like our heart and our emotions can deceive us. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by feelings. Amen? And I'm reminded of the song, let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Amen? The glory of the Lord.
I've got 4 CDs now on my player that I play every day. 4 solid hours of nothing but worship music. But praise God. That's it's not a bunch of just religious songs. It's just praise songs.
Amen.
And I remind you again what we started with tonight, and that is that the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. First of all, you ought to take comfort that he's talking about the fact that you're righteous. Hello? But then you take comfort in the fact that he says, but he delivers us out of them all if our focus stays on him.
I keep saying, Lord, there's a payday coming and I'm going to get a big check.
Amen. Amen. And what you need to do is hold fast that confession and make that confession just come out of your mouth every time. Lord, I'm not receiving this. This is not from you. This is not part of my inheritance. And I'm not going to receive it. And I'm not going to continue to walk in it. What you're doing is you're preaching yourself out of it to yourself. You're making your confession. And you're also calling what is not as though it is. Because we know by faith and by the word it already is. You're already healed. You're seeking to keep your healing. Amen? We're already prosperous. He's already got. If we're his children... It's like Stan Sol Lewis that morning. He says, it's not my bank account, it's God's bank account, and I'm a son. And I know that when I write a check on my father's account, it's going to be there. Right?
Deborah,
mm-hmm.
I have to ask you a question.
Sure, Richard.
Are you using the wheelchair at home?
Oh, no. The wheelchair stays in the trunk. I walk all the time in Hill.
Good. Because when you sit in a wheelchair, you're allowing the weakness to come in. And when you don't sit in a wheelchair, when you don't take on the tool of the enemy, which is the wheelchair, then and walk, even though it hurts, then God will bless that.
The only time that I have to use the wheelchair is if I go to the grocery store, because I cannot stand that length.
And there's no shame or humiliation in that. Until the manifestation comes. But what you need to never lose sight of is the manifestation is on its way. It's already yours. You just haven't gotten the full
payday's coming.
Benefit of it.
Payday's coming.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The check's already been written, folks. Jesus already paid the price. The check's been written.
And there's no taxes coming out
of
here.
That's right.
Amen. Well, that's a good thought, too. Is it possible to overtax God? Not a chance. Not a chance. Amen? We've been here too long. Father, thank you for your word. Seal your word in our hearts. Make this not just words that we heard with our ears, but make it words that if we've heard with our spirit, they go down into our spirit. Seal your word in our hearts. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us exceeding great and precious promises. And that, Lord, as we confess your word and as we say to the mountains in our life, be removed and be cast in the sea, and don't doubt, you promise we will have what we say. Why? Because it's your desire and your will. So we walk in that now, in Jesus' name. Redeem the time, bless your people, go with them, cause sweet peace and rest according to your word, which is a promise you've given to your saints, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.